Welcome back to NHL Sports Podcast, Across the Pond Sports Network. I'm your host, Josh Brinkley, and co-host with me again today is Chris Blythe. How are you this week, Chris?
I'm good. How are you? How are you this week?
Doing well. We were just talking, you know, no really additional COVID news this week, so that's got to be good, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we'll go into it. There's not much news coming out of the league this week, but... but I'm glad there's no COVID news coming out anyway. I think a few games rescheduled, but that's about it. But that's what we want. That's what we want to hear.
Yeah, that's right. Here, all the teams really back resuming play again. They're rescheduling the games that they've missed, so things are kind of getting more back to normal. So that's always good to hear.
Touch wood, so. It stays that way.
That's right. So yeah, like you said, kind of a quiet week this week in terms of news. One thing that I had to bring up. Not a quiet week for Alex Galchenyuk. In the span of about 48 hours, he changed teams twice. So he goes from Ottawa to Carolina, and then from Carolina, he goes back up to the North Division to Toronto. So he didn't even leave the country, didn't have to do any COVID protocols. He just kind of sat around and, hey, guess I'm just going to go over to the other team over across the street and go join them. So yeah, interesting week for him.
Yeah, I'll confess, I said before we recorded, I didn't even see the second part of that transfer to the Maple Leafs. I saw that he went to Carolina, but obviously that appears to be more of a paper trade than anything else. You know, didn't get his training gear, like you said, didn't even go south of the border. So yeah, I mean, there's not many players, I guess, who can say they've played for both Montreal and Toronto, and I have to admit, I mean, he's not a player I would have imagined being good enough, as harsh as that sounds, to say that they've played for both of those teams. I mean, we had him at Arizona we had him for one season, swapped him for Domi, and then he was with us for one season, injured at the start. He looked okay, he didn't look bad or anything, didn't look like a third round pick, I think he was, and then we ended up trading him.
He was actually the third overall pick.
That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a bit of hype.
Bit of hype, and definitely hasn't lived up to that. I don't know what you want to call it. Pedigree of draft. He's kind of disappointed that I would say throughout his career, and I think that's evident in the number of teams that he's been with. Kind of like you were saying, he's kind of moved from team to team. You'd think that he's got the skills being that third overall draft pick, but that production just really hasn't materialized for him. And I think so this being traded twice this week, I think this is his sixth organization since the 2018-19 season, so I don't know, maybe he's got a checklist of all the teams in the NHL and he's working his way down.
He's bounced. I mean, I think we sold him to Pittsburgh as part of the Kessel trade, and I think he went to, was it Minnesota, Ottawa, Carolina, and now Toronto. I mean,
Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good player, but he might be a good addition to their team. I mean, I can't imagine he'll be anywhere near you won't even get in the second line, will he? He'll be third or fourth.
Right.
Probably the fourth. But
and maybe for him, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I know one of the problems at Montreal, when we signed him, one of the things he wanted to do by coming to Arizona was almost sort of step out of the limelight slightly. Yeah, the media up in Canada, they're not known for their patience with players, but I think the difference was he was a third round pick in Montreal. He's going to have a different spotlight being, he's only got like a 1 year, rest of season contract at Toronto. So yes, he's in Canada, but he's not going to have the spotlight and the weight of the organisation on his shoulders like he had in Montreal. So yeah, I mean, I hope he does well. I mean, you don't know these guys, but he seems like a nice person. So. Good luck to him.
Yeah, good luck. And like you said, I think if he's not playing on the top two lines there in Toronto, maybe that eases a little bit of pressure off of him. Yeah. And he's more of a depth guy now. And, and maybe that can spark his career again.
Yeah. And, I mean, they got Wayne Simmonds in as well, didn't they, at the start? So he's kind of another sort of depth guy player. And that was always a kind of accusation with Toronto in the past. They didn't really have those kind of depth players. They've always just had kind of the superstars who you know, on their day can do it, or if they're not on their day, can't. So yeah, he just ticks that box as being another depth signing. But I guess he's just someone who's, yeah, career, when he first came into it, you wouldn't have envisaged him being a depth signing, but that's what he is now. So yeah, yeah, good luck to him. On the other end of the playing, you know, style is Connor McDavid joining the 500 point club. So he did that in the week. It's a, got a list here. It's quite an exclusive sort of list of players. So the top five, as it currently stands, is Eric Lindros, number five, Mike Bossy, number four, Peter Stastny, number three, Mario Lemieux, number two, and then Gretzky's just far and away at the top, and the fastest to 500. So he's joined eighth with Sidney Crosby. The thing I found interesting about it is it's taken him exactly the same amount of games that it took Sidney Crosby to reach that level of points, 369 games, which, I mean, I don't know what odds you'd have got on that when he first started his career. It's a bit of a coincidence. I mean, Sidney Crosby, he did it at a team where he won two Stanley Cups. Connor McDavid's done it at a team where he's only been in the Stanley Cup once, back in 2017, I believe. And I said on previous shows, you know, he's a player that you want to see in the playoffs every year. And, you know, we'll go on to it when we look at the standings. But Edmonton are looking pretty good at the moment. So, you know, I don't know how long his kind of his window is, how many more points he can get. I know there's talk about him maybe even reaching 1,000 points. Don't see why not if you're playing with someone like Drysdale alongside you. But yeah, no, it's a great achievement. And he's only the 21st to do it before his 25th birthday as well. So he's got a long career.
Right. Yeah, he's still, like you said, still very young. And it seems like he's been playing, I don't know, recent history, it seems like forever. but yeah, no, it's like you said, very young. And I see no reason why he wouldn't hit that 1,000 points. Like you said, as long as he keeps having the guys around him that he's had, the talent, like Draisaitl, and even without him, you know, he's still putting up, you know, the points game in and game out.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't got the figures to hand, but I know when they're not playing with each other, they seem to be better when they're not with each other. So, I mean, you know, obviously, if you can play with someone like Draisaitl by your side, that's what you want. But, they, you know, he doesn't seem to sort of bother too much if he isn't.
Right.
And same with Draisaitl, with McDavid. So, yeah, that's one hell of a career. And, again, just someone you just want to see in the playoffs every year, because he's just too good not to be there.
Yeah, too good to be. And yeah, like you said in earlier podcasts, you know, you don't want to waste those years for, you know, his prime just struggling to even make the playoffs, which is kind of what they're still in that cycle, unfortunately, this year. But
yeah.
Well,
let's see what he does. But yeah, I mean, him and Draisaitl, again, you just want to see them in the playoffs. And
yeah,
touch wood. I've got no affiliation with Edmonton, but for those players alone, I want to see them in the playoffs this year. Definitely.
Yeah. So, hey, just another minor note. You were bringing up Sidney Crosby.
Yep.
He's got a milestone coming up today. Just was reading about this. He is going to be playing in his 1,000th game today. So.
I did not know that.
So I just was looking that up, and that's a big milestone for him.
So today being Saturday, who's that against?
Let's see.
I dropped that on you.
Let's see who they play today. They are playing the New York Islanders.
Okay. And they're not doing too well. Okay. Yeah. I mean, there's not many games that he doesn't sort of score or at least get a point in. So you'd like to see him do that today, definitely.
Right. Right. And they've been playing, at least the Penguins have been playing better the last few games. So,
yeah.
Yeah, hopefully he gets something in on that milestone game.
And that's the thing. I mean, I wasn't I was only born in 84. So my sort of knowledge of hockey sort of mid-90s kind of onwards. But I've heard it said that there hasn't been many eras where there's just been that level of quality player. And I do feel like we're quite lucky at the moment to have Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, Draisaitl, and it almost seems every team has a, if not a kind of Hall of Fame level player, then a player close to being a Hall of Fame level player. Whereas, you know, you look back in the kind of mid-80s, early 90s, yeah, you've got Gretzky, you've got Lemieux and maybe a couple of others, but it seemed to be a couple of teams had the best players and then it was the best of the rest. So at the moment, we do seem to be in quite a purple patch of just quality players. And yeah, you can see them all go as far as possible in the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I wish these guys well. And like you said, careers up to this point have been stellar. And, you know, hopefully they can keep it up as long as they can.
Yeah. And the only other bit of news I've got, and I've said it on previous podcasts, I'm not going to try and hijack the shows with Coyotes talk, but I think it's fair to say what's happening there at the moment is the biggest news in the hockey world at the moment. So to give a kind of rundown, there's a journalist who works for The Athletic, Katie Sprang, I think you pronounce it. And I won't go into the full detail of the piece she's done. It's quite a lengthy piece, but I'd recommend people give it a read. So basically it focuses on the current ownership under the Alex Morello and his family who took over back in June 2019, and it's not exactly a glowing piece in terms of their management of the Coyotes since they've come in. So this journalist spoke to about 50 well over 50 people linked to the club, present staff members, past staff members. And there's a few sort of stories that have come out that I kind of heard about in the past anyway. So things like late bonus payments to players back in July and September, late per diem payments. There's even a specific story about after the playoff games in the last season, some of the players wanted just to get a pizza and had to run it through the club, and the club rejected it and turned down the takeaway pizzas. There's also stories about payments being made to vendors either late or dragged out. They've been querying a lot of the invoices and basically just dragging out as much as possible. Which, I mean, doesn't exactly look good on him as an owner. I mean, the other thing to say about him as an owner and Javier Gutierrez, who is the head of, he's the president of hockey operations at the Coyotes, is they've both been very upfront. They've both said that when they took over, they kind of took over a bit of a basket case of a club, which is kind of known in the hockey world. I mean, I'm a Coyotes fan, but I appreciate that we're probably known for things off the ice more than on the ice. And yeah, you know, again, they've also been honest with saying that, you know, we're experienced business guys, but we've never owned a sports team before. So we are going to get a few things wrong down the line. And that could just be what's happening here. I mean, what I will say is, there's a lot in the story, but I kind of make you read it and you kind of think, okay, what isn't in this story? What has been left out? Especially when you add, there's different layers to it. So there's that side of it. There's also the side of it where John Chyka, he obviously left under slightly odd circumstances. But again, what I will say about that one is the NHL found in favor of the Coyotes. And I think Chyka, I believe, got a 12-month suspension from been involved in hockey, is that right?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, so 4 years
suspension.
4 years. They've never released a report on sort of what happened and what the outcome is, but they sided on the side of the Coyotes. And then you've got Steve Sullivan, who was the assistant GM and then caretaker GM once Chyka left. He left a couple of weeks ago. I think his role got reduced to basically that of being a scout. He's looking to, he's gone down the legal route against the Coyotes. So there's all these kind of things sort of going on, which doesn't paint us in a good light. To be fair, the club then did release a statement about a day later, maybe 2 days later. But it was quite an aggressive statement. Again, I won't read it out. It's there to be seen. But it had the kind of air of, and I don't know if you've ever had this, Josh, you know, and when your boss has sent you an email and, you know, you haven't liked it and you've wanted to reply and you've gone, you know what, I'm going to sleep on it a bit. Or, you know, you may have had one too many drinks and you want to send an email or a message and you've sort of gone, no, you know what, I'm going to sleep on this. Take a deep breath. Well, their statement kind of reads of someone who hasn't done that.
But
they've almost read the piece and gone straight on their keyboard and go, right, let's release this. It's quite a, an aggressive statement. But, you know, if they feel they're innocent, I guess they're within their rights to do that. So, yeah, I guess it's the story here is just more off the ice news about them. And it's different layers. Yeah, like I said, you've got the previous ownership, the previous GM. stories coming about the new GM. He can be quite abrupt from what it sounds like, the way he's dealing with things. And it is a shame because, you know, we've come off the back of a 7-game series against St. Louis where we played really well and we're sitting fourth in the standings. So it is a bit of a shame the timing, but it's the Coyotes. I'm kind of used to it. I'm waiting for the next kind of storylines to come out. And the only good thing about this storyline is at least it didn't involve the word relocation. You know, that word wasn't mentioned once. And, you know, to caveat even further, one of the reasons people have looked at it and gone, well, why would you sort of take over the Coyotes? You know, they're this kind of unloved team in the desert. They've never won anything. They haven't really got the support base there. And looking at it, so Alex Morello also owns a casino in Vegas, the Sahara Casino, I believe it is. And they're looking in the state of Arizona to change the gambling rules. And they're looking to change it. If you own a sports franchise within Arizona, you're able to apply for some sort of license, which means you can do in-game bettings and have gambling going on at your stadium or arena at the same time. So that's his kind of interest in the club from a business point of view. So I don't think the relocation word will come up from his side anyway. Yeah, it's just one bit of a mess, to be honest. And I don't know what it's like at Colorado, if you've ever had that kind of history with ownership. But as a Coyotes fan, I mean, it just seems it's just nonstop.
Yeah, I think in terms of like the Colorado teams, really, you know, I think they're a little bit more stable. There's some issues, I guess, going on with the Broncos right now, the football team, with, you know, their ownership. You know, since Pat Bowlen died, I think the kids are kind of fighting for ownership of the team. So there's a little bit of that going on. But like you said, for the Coyotes, yeah, they're not able to avoid the spotlight in a good way here. It just seems like negative news all year around that franchise this year. And I think, like you said, maybe the word relocation hasn't been used too much, but I think the thing that this article kind of painted was that, hey, maybe this new ownership isn't as financially stable as they had originally thought. I think that's what my takeaway from reading that article was. And I know that Gary Bettman has come out in support of that organization, still saying that they're financially viable. There's really no worries there. But the things that you were talking about that was brought up to light in here is, you know, hey, they're withholding payment to a lot of vendors. And when the vendors do come back, you know, asking for that payment, they're going item by item on the invoice, say, yeah, we'll pay this, or, yeah, you know, we're not going to pay that. So they're contesting, they're trying to reduce the amount that's owed to these vendors. And it's not just one vendor. It's, you know, multiple vendors have been talked to and are you know, kind of seeing that whole pattern in terms of how they approach their business. So not only that, but like you said, there's lawsuits, not only with vendors, but also with individual people who were a part of that organization, saying that the organization's withholding payment and wages to some of their staff. So yeah, very interesting there. And then you mentioned the one thing that's never really happened, I don't think, with any other NHL team that I'm aware of, is bonus payments and signing bonuses not being paid out on time. And that was, you know, like I said, if I'm taking anything away from that report, it's really that, you know, why are they delaying payments even just to their players? That's something that you should know well in advance of what those milestones are and be able to pay that. So I'm hoping that, you know, maybe it's just like you said, the transition between ownership is going a little bit rough. They're kind of on a learning curve in terms of hockey operations. But yeah, the thing that painted in my mind was maybe the financial viability of the owners. It puts a little bit of question on it.
Yeah, and it's the payment to the players that worries me the most. I mean, obviously, if you're a vendor, it's serious if you're not getting any payments. But I mean, if that's, you know, looking at it on a really ground level basis, if you're looking at an invoice, let's say, and it's from a previous ownership, and you know, maybe they were doing deals that weren't in the best interest of the hockey club, then maybe I can see their point in terms of kind of, you know, trying to give themselves at least an image with local businesses that, you know, we're not going to be messed around anymore. You know, you need us as a sports entertainment team to be there as much as we need you. So there may be sort of, you know, hardballing with that, but it's the payments to players that worried me the most. because, you know, I think he's actually a billionaire, not even a millionaire. He owns businesses, he owns a bank, he owns a casino. You know, he can afford to pay a vendor's invoice. I don't think that's in question, but it's the payment to the players where it's, you know, like you said, it's the bigger sums. And if you're delaying those, and ultimately, you know, yeah, you need the ownership, you need the fans, you need people in marketing, front office, you need all that. But, you know, it's the players that will point your company or club or whatever in the right direction. And if they're the guys you're kind of messing around, then it doesn't look good at all.
Right.
It's not a good look.
And it's not a good look. And the time comes to bring in, you know, free agents that you want to improve the team. You know, if that's out there, that's kind of a, you know, you take that in consideration as a player before you sign somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you've got an offer on the table from two teams and one of the teams is the team who will say no to a takeaway pizza after a playoff game and will delay per diem payments and delay bonus payments, or the other team aren't like that, well, yeah, you're going to probably choose the other team, aren't you? So it's, and it is a shame. Yeah, like I said, we had a 7-game series against St. Louis where we came out, you know, we looked good and we beat them over those 7 games. And, you know, we got Connor Garland, for me, is one of the most exciting players in the league at the moment. They're the kind of things we should be talking about. And actually, you know, going back to the ownership, they've done some good things as well. You know, they've really embraced the kind of, you know, the Latin community in Arizona, and they brought Shane Doan back into the organization, which was, you know, it came probably about 10 years too late, but that's one of the things they prioritized. This guy we got in from St. Louis, Doug Armstrong, he seems like a good head. I think they're going to keep Rick Tuckett on further. He's done well. They've done well with the AHL team, the Roadrunners, so that they are doing a lot of good things. But yeah, those good things count for nothing if you're getting these kind of stories coming out.
Right. Definitely some major missteps along the way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
All right. Well, we're going to take our first break here. When we come back, we'll talk how we did with our picks of the week last week and how the teams look in the standings after this week's of play.
Cool.
So by now, you'll have seen our website, atpsports.net. You're going to admit, it's pretty awesome. It was brought to you by the team at Data Squared. You can find them on the web, datasq2.co.uk. They're dedicated to bringing you the very best in website design, hosting, and security. Their aim is to provide you with the very best package you need to help you spread the word about your business. Data Squared will design and build a website for you, and they'll build it not just for desktop, but for all devices so you can be seen on the move. Data Squared will help you choose your domain, making sure it's relevant to you and your business, and they'll open up an online store for you. They have the tools so you can keep track of customers, their orders, stock, and much, much more. So why not expand your business online today with Data Squared? Visit datasq2.co.uk.
To Across the Pond, NHL Sports Podcast. So we're going to cover the standings after another week of play. Chris, how about we start in the Central? Really not much of a shakeup here, except I keep seeing one surprise team at the top. not at the top, but towards the top. So really no surprise with Florida at the top. They've been playing very well, continue playing well. The team that I guess is surprising just in terms of points tied with them is the Blackhawks. I know that that comes with a little bit of a caveat. They played 4 more games than the Panthers. But, you know, to see them right up there and their point share, they've been playing pretty well the last few games, to my surprise. And they find themselves right now at a tie for first. Behind them, we have Tampa. Again, they have games in hand, so I would expect them to move up in the standings a little bit. They're only 1 point back of both the Panthers and the Blackhawks. They were kind of idle this week with they were supposed to play Dallas, and with the weather down in Texas, with all the power outages, they postponed those games this week. So not really much action for those two teams.
Dallas, they do exist as a hockey club, don't they? I know they've only played 12 games this year.
Yeah, it is a weird year, isn't it? Tied with the Lightning, we have the Hurricanes. They've been surging as of late. They've been playing pretty well. Behind them, we have Columbus. They've kind of cooled off a little bit. And then we have Dallas, like you said, idle. And, you know, with the COVID delay, they've only played 12 games. And then we have Nashville and Detroit bringing up the rear. So no surprise with the last two teams there. But like I said, I think my biggest surprise out of here is just seeing the Blackhawks. And I do anticipate, you know, as games start being made up and the Lightning, Hurricanes, and maybe even Dallas, if they turn things around, the Blackhawks will fall in the standings. But I think that they're at least playing for that fourth spot.
Yeah, they're in the conversation, aren't they? Yeah. And if you have a look at the points for the top five as well, I mean, Dallas have obviously only played 12 games, but there's quite a gulf, isn't there, between the team fifth and the team sixth. You know, 6 points difference there. And then Predators, Wings, I mean, I think that's just, they'll be there. They're for me, the two bottom teams adrift. I can't see them moving. But yeah, I mean, Blackhawks, they played 19, but, you know, they're doing it. I mean, I can't really complain or say too much other than that. Yeah, they've played a lot more games than everyone else, but they seem to be doing it. It's the Stars. That's the interesting sort of fly in the ointment for the rest of the division. As we said, they've only played the 12 games, and last couple of seasons they've looked strong. They haven't really lost any players, if anything they've added. So I can imagine them, you know, zooming back up the top or towards the top, but at whose expense, I couldn't tell you. Florida, I mean, I just, you know, we kind of skim past them almost because we're used to them being at the top. But I think it's still a surprise that they're still up there. It still takes me by surprise to see them, you know, not just top, but looking quite comfortable up there as well. I think they've played two games, haven't they, against Tampa, and won one, lost one.
So they're holding their own versus, I think, the best team in that division. So,
yeah,
things looking pretty well for them.
Hurricanes are always a team that I've kind of, I don't know what it is about them. I always sort of seem to overlook them, take them for granted, but I think they're probably one I should be paying a bit more attention to, really, especially, you know, after the last couple of years, they seem to get themselves into the mix. And I think also what probably hasn't helped them in my mind is the whole storm surge kind of business that they were doing.
That's right.
A couple of seasons ago, the whole novelty acts of that, which started off pretty cool. But then I think, didn't they get, was it Evander Holyfield, or they got some sort of Xboxer involved in one of the storm surges? And when I saw that, I was like, right, I'm out. I'm tapping out of this.
A little bit over the top, right?
Yeah, they jumped the shark with that one. Yeah. But, and then Blue Jackets in fifth. I mean, they're still my dark horse. You know, Lane, he seems to be scoring. I think he's got over whatever falling out he had with Torts, or at least a member of his backroom staff. It's Roslovic who actually came part of that deal. He's the one who's impressed me the most.
Absolutely.
He's just, I don't know if it's to do, yeah, he's from Columbus. I don't know if he just feels comfortable there or what, but he's hit the ground. He's doing, you know, running. He's doing a lot better than I imagined he would do. So I still expect to see improvement from them.
And they've got Elvis came back this week, I believe. Right. So he's back from injury. So yeah, hopefully things, you know, kind of look on the up for them. And like you said, both those pieces in the trade with Winnipeg looking pretty good. You know, I know we talked about Line A being benched, but, you know, it doesn't seem like there's any issues stemming from that right now. But, you know, both Line A and, like you said, Roslovic has really looked good. He looks like he fits on that team very, very well.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I put my hands up. I kind of took him in that deal for kind of granted. You know, I was concentrating purely on Lane and the effects he will have, and I didn't really consider Roslovic as part of that trade and the contributions he'll make. But yeah, he's doing it, and I think out of all the divisions, this is the division where it's kind of, I can't really see where it will go, because you look at the Blackhawks and they're third and they're doing it looking good, but they're still quite a weak team. You don't really know if they're a team looking to start up again, or if they're a team who are looking to go for it. They're kind of in that weird kind of middle ground at the moment. Panthers are just rocketing away. If Blue Jackets and Lightning, sorry, Blue Jackets will get in there. I still think Dallas will get in there as well. So, at the expense of Chicago, maybe Carolina. I don't know. It's a tough one.
Yeah, I think either way you look at it, there's going to be one team that's out of that bubble that's probably going to be a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think it's the same in the East as well, isn't it? There'll be at least one team who...
Yeah.
Who will be a surprise. But yeah, this is... I think it's the most unpredictable of all the divisions, the Central.
Yeah. I think so. Your pick of the week came out of the Central last week, right? Or one of your two picks of the week?
Yeah, so I did the Lightning Panthers game. So I think we were saying, you know, the idea is we'd pick a game each, but with the sort of COVID season we've got, it was actually two games they played in the week. So the first game was in Tampa, 6-1 to the Lightning. Nothing really to add, really. It was just a bad day in the office for the Panthers. The only kind of thing that was good for them was they had the reverse retros on with the kind of the original pouncing, I don't know, is it a tiger? I don't know what animal it is, but whatever the animal is, it was that. So they look cool, you know, they didn't. Yeah, they didn't do their job. They were rubbish, but they look good at least. And then they played the second game and it was 6-4 to the Panthers. And I think the interesting thing about that game is it was their first win in Tampa since 2016. So, yeah, that's not bad. You know, 4 or 5 years down the road to get that victory. Was brilliant, and they'll have plenty more opportunities to add to that as well in this weird season we've got.
Right. Yeah, definitely weird season. And like you said, they're looking very good. So I think that they've got the opportunity to keep that streak going.
Yeah, and it's, I think you mentioned him last week, Chris Traeger?
Traeger,
that was it. He's on fire at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah, he's playing really well. Better than their $10 million a year Bobrovsky. So that's kind of disappointing. You hope he turns it around. But I guess at least one of your goalies is playing well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you look at it like a spread out payment, it doesn't hurt so much, I guess, if you're in the front office. But yeah, and actually, it got me thinking about the whole Bobrovsky though. If you're a goalkeeper and the number one goalkeeper is on a $10 million a year contract, to be at that club must be quite difficult mentally, because you know you're not going to get much of an opportunity. You know that you're definitely the second goalkeeper. There's no two ways about it, is it? You're not part of a tandem. You are the backup goalkeeper. We've got this guy on $10 million a year. He's the main guy. So I guess it goes to show how bad of a time he's having in Florida that he's just not the goalie anymore, is he? He's not the first pick at all.
Right. And that's, you know, I guess you can make that work in the short term, but the longer that contract goes, you know, you're still paying the guy $10 million. And if you have to make changes to your roster, that kind of hampers your financial flexibility to do so, especially if you look at the COVID environment we're in. And you know, it's probably going to, you know, remain tight for the next couple of years. So, you know, maybe short term, it's not a big deal, but hopefully long term, he can get things kind of turned around and be that number one and play to that $10 million a year, you know, expectation.
Yeah, and also, if you're him as well, I mean, you're this guy, you're getting $10 million a year. You're in a market where you're not really under... I mean, I can imagine if you're a $10 million goalkeeper at, say, someone like Toronto, and you're not doing it, you know, I can imagine walking down the street could be quite difficult without getting the constant abuse, but I doubt he's getting that in a market like Florida. So if you're him, you're sitting there, you're getting $10 million a year. Yeah, I can't say I'm too knowledgeable on state tax in America, but I know Florida doesn't have any state tax. No income tax, $10 million. You got no affiliation to the place. You know, you're a Russian guy. The weather's nice. Yeah, just sit it out here, play some golf. Yeah, just, you know, run it out, see what happens. But yeah, no, I mean, even if that's his attitude, which it probably isn't, but if it is his attitude, at least you've got Chris Drake there who's... he's doing a great job, and yeah, one of the main pieces and one of the main reasons they're number one.
Yeah, certainly. All right, we'll move on to the East. So, yeah, covering the East, really no change in the top, 3-4 from last week. We look at Boston being at the top, and man, they are playing pretty well. They've lost a couple in a row, but up until then, again, they're a solid team and kind of hard to play them. Just 3 points behind, we have the Flyers. And then tied with them points-wise, we have the Capitals and the New York Islanders. New York has been playing a little bit better of late. So they've kind of moved back up in the standings. I think we had talked about this a couple of weeks ago that, you know, they were the surprise team that were kind of hanging around down towards the bottom. But their play has been better and moved up. And followed back behind the Islanders, we have the Penguins, the Devils, and then the Rangers, and bringing up the bottom, unfortunately, the Sabres. But probably not really much of a surprise. I think we kind of thought the Sabres are what they are. They have really no good goaltending. You know, I've got a feel for both Eichel and Hall in that situation, but you know, they're kind of a team, I would say, it's almost in no man's land either. They have a couple promising pieces that could be a core you could build around, but it seems like there's really not much else.
No, they're kind of like what I've previously said about the Senators in the North Division. I mean, I didn't expect them to go in the playoffs, the Sabres, but I would have expected them to have a greater push. I mean, yeah, they haven't really got much in terms of goalkeeping, but they've got the Swedish guy, the first-round pick in defence.
Rasmus Dahlin.
They got Dahlin. They got Taylor Hall in from us in the preseason, and they've got Jack Eichel. So, you know, that's off the top of my head, three top level players. So yeah, to have them rock bottom is, yeah, it's not even just being rock bottom, is it? It's rock bottom in the manner. You know, they don't even seem to be playing well. I mean, I know Taylor Hall, I think he got a goal in his first week in his debut. Hasn't really done anything since. I don't think Eichel's pulled in many points. So yeah, they just seem to be a bit flat. And I've mentioned him before, they got their coach Kruger. You know, he's a gold medal winning coach, isn't he, at Canada? And he's been around, he's well respected, but it's just, yeah, they just seem to be a bit of a nothing team at the moment.
Right.
I don't know what they're about.
Right. I mean, you look at some of the other teams in the division, like the Devils, you're right. You think that they're a team that's kind of turning around the rebuild. Same thing with the Rangers. Both of them, I mean, I thought the Rangers would do a little bit better in that, you know, they were kind of the Cinderella team last year. They made the playoffs. They were looking pretty good. And you thought they, hey, maybe this year they take another step forward. But, you know, they've come out pretty flat. The Devils, the same thing. They started off the year really slow. But yeah, I guess with these teams, you know, you're not really surprised that they are where they are. Yes. They're still in the middle of the rebuild. But like you said, I think with the Sabres, I think that they're doing that bad. Yeah, I didn't see that. I didn't see them, you know, at the top of the division for sure. But you expect maybe a little bit more out of them.
Yeah, and then looking up, I mean, when we're talking about the Central, we said there'll be a team who'll be disappointed and surprised almost. And it's the same for this one. I mean, either the Islanders or the Penguins are they'll be the fifth team, I can see.
Right.
And yeah, Islanders had a slow start, but they pulled it back, which you'd expect with the coach they've got and the players they have got. Penguins, it doesn't really surprise me too much to see them where they are. You know, obviously they've got Crosby and Malkin, but they don't really have a defence to speak of whatsoever. The keeper they've got there doesn't seem to be doing it this year compared to previous seasons. I forget his name, but he had a really good couple of years. Got rid of Murray, thinking, okay, he'll be our main guy, but he hasn't really done it this year. It wouldn't actually surprise me, looking at the table as it stands, if this is how it finishes. Flyers are looking really good. Capitals are kind of just reliably in there. And then, yeah, Islanders can pick up that fourth. And then I think, yeah, Penguins, Devils, Rangers, Sabres to miss out. I mean,
yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, I mean, if the season ended in this ranking, that wouldn't surprise me. And like you said, I think Rotaka and Penguins, it's Tristan Jarry is the goalie there. But he's had a few good years. And yeah, this year, not looking all that great.
Yeah, I don't know who their backup is there, but I don't know. Was he having a good few years because he had someone like Murray alongside him, you know, to maybe, if he, you know, Murray, I know he's had his bad years and he seems to be a bit hot and cold, but, you know, he's a twice Stanley Cup winning goalkeeper. If he's your sort of your rival for the number one spot, you know, do you increase your game a little bit? And then when he's gone, do you feel a bit comfortable maybe? I mean, you know, I'm getting into the heads of these people I don't even know, so who knows if that's it, but
right.
Maybe it's
they've got a shoulder a lot more of the load than in the past.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, in terms of the top two, I mean, Flyers, I really like them. I like the guy they've got in charge there. I like the players they've got there. They've got that kind of, you know, they've always had that tradition, haven't they, of being a bit of a hard, almost dirty team. And I wouldn't call them dirty now, but they're a hard team. And I can imagine, you know, you feel the bruises when you play them, and they're kind of going a bit back to that.
They're like a grinded out team, but they can score, right?
They can score. And and as for the Bruins, I mean, it's just their division, isn't it? They're just reliably solid.
Yeah, I think, like you said, Boston, Flyers, they finish 1-2, really no surprise there. And then it'd be some form of the Capitals, Islanders, or Penguins for that last spot. So,
and the Capitals, I mean, yeah, they've obviously got, you know, they got great players, but they got a new coach in, didn't they? They got rid of their coach pre-season, I think, and he's the guy who replaced Barry Trotz. So, you know, they've had a couple of years of sort of different management, different coaches. Obviously, you know, they've got Ovechkin, so if you got him banging them in reliably every other game, then, you know, you can kind of expect to be up there. And but yeah, you know, they've had changes. But the guy in charge at Flyers, he's been there for a good couple of years. Same with the Bruins. So to have that kind of change, but yet be third, yeah, they've done well with it.
All right. Another division I think that we're seeing kind of settle in is the North. You look at, no surprise again, on paper, the Toronto Maple Leafs, they're the ones kind of separating themselves from the rest right now. They've been playing very well. You know, Austin Matthews has been on fire. I guess it's kind of their division for the taking, I think. And like I said, they're now in first place, 28 points. They're 6 points ahead of Edmonton, who is in second. So a little bit of a shuffle in the, you know, the teams coming, you know, 2 through 5. So Edmonton, they've been playing very well of late. The last 10, they're 8-10. They've won a couple in a row. And then we have Winnipeg. They've been playing pretty good as well. They're only a point behind Edmonton, but they've got a couple games in hand. And then we have the Canadiens, played the fewest amount of games out of this division. So I think, you know, if they keep up their style of play and how they've been playing, they'll move up here, you know, 2 or 3 spot. And then we have kind of the rest of the division. So I think, you know, we were talking about, I think that order 1 through 4, that doesn't surprise me. I think if things play from here out to the end of the year, that in some fashion, those are your top 4 teams making the playoffs. And then you have your kind of bottom 3. We have Calgary, Vancouver, and Ottawa. And really the only team that, again, that surprises me here is Vancouver. They still played the most amount of games in this division, and they only have 17 points out of 21 games played, and they continue to just play poor. They're not playing good defense. You know, they've given up 74 goals. They've got a 12 differential, a negative 12 point differential, sorry. And, you know, I think with, like we talked about, you know, the changes that they made in the offseason, they were expected to be another playoff contending team, and they've really just dropped out. And I don't see how they get back into that picture at this point. I think they're kind of out of it.
Looking, what were we, sort of between 15 and 20 games into the season, it's this division, if it finishes the way it is now, wouldn't surprise me. But yeah, certainly at the start of the season, I'm surprised. I definitely wouldn't have thought the Canucks would be second from bottom. And yeah, I mean, they've played 21 games, and it's, you know, it's the highest in the division. It's the highest in the whole of the NHL. And the second highest games in the NHL is 19. So, I mean, they can't say, you know, there's some teams where you look at and you think, like Dallas, for example, going back to them, they're quite low in the division, but it's kind of a false position because they've only played, I think it was 12. The Canucks don't really have that excuse. They've played 21 games, and I don't know, really know what the answer is for them. I mean, they're scoring plenty. I mean, they're the third highest in the division, so they're putting it away, but then they're conceding a loss as well. I mean, the second most, again, skewed by the amount of games they've played. But the thing is, and I was going to mention it last week and I forgot, but it kind of still applies this week, is with the Canadian division and the COVID rules thrown in, and we've seen it with Pierre-Luc Dubois, any player they sign outside of Canada will have to sit out for 2 weeks. Now, 2 weeks in a normal season, you're probably only looking at maybe 4 or 5 games tops, but 2 weeks in a COVID condensed season, that could be 7 or 8 games.
Right.
So they've got a smaller pool of players to pick from if they want someone to cut, if they can even get someone in with the remaining cap they've got. But if they want to get someone in to hit the ground running and have an immediate effect, well, they can only really sign from the other Canadian teams. Otherwise, they're going to have to wait for that guy to kind of sit it out for 2 weeks. And, you know, it's not just quarantining and not playing for 2 weeks. It's not training with your teammates. You're not allowed on the ice, you know.
Right. Like us, yeah, you're away from them. You're away from the team. I think the only thing you can do are the virtual meetings, right?
Yeah, what we're doing now, you can be on Zoom, but that's kind of it.
So far, yeah.
I don't know what the answer is for them. Is it just a case of, you know, wiping the season from memory and just looking to next season already? Maybe that's what they'll have to do. In terms of, did you see the game in the week against Ottawa? The game they started on that?
Yeah, that was quite the turnaround, wasn't it? Yeah.
That was my reaction. I just laughed. I don't know if you know much about football or soccer over here, but the Maple Leafs have always reminded me of a team we have over here called Tottenham Hotspur, Spurs. The reason being is their fan base is, they seem to think they're a lot bigger and better than they are. But the, you know, if you look at the record books, the last time they won anything, it was kind of in the age of black and white TV. And, you know, and I've always kind of associated Toronto fans with Tottenham fans. And it's to the point, actually, whereas if they have Spurs, Tottenham, if they have a game where they're winning and then they lose or play badly against a team they should win against, it's called being Spursy. And I would say that the Maple Leafs were Spursy the other day.
That's
a new term for you there, Spursy. They were
Spursy.
Spursy. Right. They were 5-1 up, 6-5. And yeah, my reaction was your reaction. I just laughed. And then I sort of listened to other hockey podcasts as well. And there's a Sportsnet one. Tim and Sid, they have a podcast every day. And the reaction from the Canadian and Toronto-based media, I mean, yeah, fine, it's not great. And, you know, yeah, your last season you lost to a team with the Zamboni driver in goal against the Hurricanes. But, I mean, you are top. You know, don't throw the kind of baby out with the bathwater here. Bad games happen in hockey. Hockey, you know, it's probably the hardest team sport to bet. If you were to gamble, it's probably the hardest team sport because, you know, going back to the Florida-Tampa game, you know, one game Tampa beat Florida 5-6-1, the next game Florida reverse it 2 nights later. So, you know, yeah, it doesn't look great. It's funny, but they were losing their hair over it, and that made it funnier.
Yeah, it's got to be like the manner in which they lost that too, right? They had that lead. And actually, it's funny, I actually turned that game on right as they scored that shorthanded goal. They come back and they score again starting the third period, and it's like, oh, wow. And all of a sudden, they're right back in it, and, yeah, they take it to overtime and win. So just one of those, you know, I guess, like you said, those games are going to happen here and there, but it's, yeah. That it happened to the Leafs, you just kind of got a chuckle. I do get
they do seem to have this kind of history of having these kind of weird games that does seem to kind of happen to them. But, or does it actually? Does it happen to every team? It's just the media is so hot on it up in Canada, we just notice it more, maybe. I mean, it could be that, but it just makes it funnier. It was a funny game.
And entertaining too. So. Yeah, high scoring game. Anytime you get 11 goals, that's always
11
fun.
Goals.
Yeah.
And the fact it was a Senators just made it even funnier, actually.
Yeah, Senators. Oh, that's bad. You look at them sitting, they are just rock bottom. They played 19 games, they have 9 points. They have a -34 goal differential. I mean, they're just terrible. And that it happened. That's the game that they you take the number one team in the division too. Like you said, I think it's any team's going to have, you know, a little bump in the road like that. But I think it probably gets a little bit made more of with the Toronto market.
I think that's what it is. I've got nothing against the team at all. You know, they're a proper, you know, original six team, you know, an amazing, amazing storied history. But I think, yeah, with the kind of media, they don't help themselves. I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, for sure.
The fans who would have found that even funnier were the Canadians. I mean, they're, what are they, fourth in the league at the moment? I don't understand that. You may know the answer. They haven't played, have they, since last week? I think they're playing tonight, tonight being Saturday. But I don't think they've played in like 6 or 7 days. Now, I don't think that's COVID related. I don't think COVID's really been an issue in Canada. So I'm not sure how that kind of happened.
You know, I'm assuming it's because there's only 7 teams in that division. That, you know, one team's going to sit out here and there. So
Sense.
I think that's there's an odd number of teams, so they're not all playing. That's when they were kind of the team that was idle this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the world we're living in now. If I see a fixture list and see a massive sort of difference like that, I just assume COVID. But yeah, it's not really hitting at the moment.
Yeah, Canada, that division's been great with their handling of the COVID situation. Yeah. So no issues there yet. And now we'll move on to the final division, and I think is also the closest division in terms of the teams really kind of bunched together. You know, points differential from top to bottom is, you know, what we got, 8 points total. So right now, currently leading the division, St. Louis Blues, but they've also played, you know, the most games at 17. Same with the Ducks in the division, both played 17. So they have 22 points. Close behind them, we have the Vegas Knights with 21 points, but they have 3 games in hand, so only 14 games played for them. Then we have the Colorado Avalanche at 17 points and only 13 games played, so a lot of, you know, a lot of games to be made up here. And then we have, Chris, your team, the Coyotes, sitting at fourth right now with 17 points. I think if we're going to talk games, we'll talk about them, I think, pretty heavily. They did a really good job.
End the season now. That's it. End it now. Done. It's done.
Yeah. So we'll get back to them here in a second. We'll just finish the standing. So we have Coyotes in fourth. We have the Kings 2 points behind them in fifth. Actually, the Ducks tied with them. But again, they're 2 games ahead. Then we have Minnesota and San Jose. Minnesota, we got to put a little asterisk next to. They've only played 13 games. So little bit of a misleading stat again, with, you know, COVID and the amount of games that have been adjusted this year so far. So topic, we got to cover the Coyotes again, right? We talked about them in the news. Despite all this negative news coming in, they played very well. They played a 7-game, almost like a baseball World Series, right? 7 games.
Yeah, with 7-game Blues, series.
And they took 4 of those 7. And I think that one of the losses, they went to overtime, so they got a point out of that. So they really put themselves in a great spot with that series. You know, they're sitting solidly up there in fourth.
It's not just that as well. We played 7 against St. Louis, 4 against Vegas. So 11 of the 16 have been against arguably the two best teams in that division. I mean, in the typical Coyotes fashion, we then lost games to the Ducks and the Kings, but you know that's gonna happen. I'm happy with the way it is at the moment. I think, yeah, like you said, the Minnesota Wild, they're second from bottom, but they're kind of the sleeper team, really, aren't they? I'd still say they're favorite, even as a Coyotes fan, I'd still say they're favorite for that fourth spot. I guess it just means the pressure's on them now. You know, they're the ones who everyone else has played their games. It's down to them to make that difference count. So
right. Yeah, they got to win those games that they have in hand to really move up and catch up. But yeah, like you said, I think Minnesota, I really think it's going to come down to Minnesota or, you know, Arizona for that fourth spot, maybe even if the Kings keep playing like they do. But personally, I think it's going to be between the Wild or the Coyotes. And then in some semblance, you know, we'll have really the top three divisions, then the favored teams in this division will finish, you know, I don't know what order yet, but you know, you have the Blues, the Knights, and the Avalanche. I anticipate that they'll finish, you know, those will be your top three teams.
Yeah, definitely. Out of all those sort of different divisions, I think the West is the one you could call lots of spaces right from the off. I mean, they were always going to be the top three teams, and I don't think there's any question in that. Yeah, I mean, LA, they're surprised me with, you know, we played them the other night. We lost on in a shootout. I think we were 2-0 down in the first period. And yeah, they look good. They look really surprisingly good. They've always been quite a sort of slow, cumbersome team, but they weren't the other night. We've got them again tonight, so tonight being Saturday. Hopefully we'll make it 1-0 in the series. But yeah, they could pull some surprises. But yeah, in terms of the Sharks and the Ducks, I can't really see them doing anything. Especially the Sharks. I think they're having a Buffalo-esque season to forget.
Yeah, I think the Sharks are... They're ready, I think, just to tear down that team and start the rebuild. You know, it was just a couple of years ago that they were looking, you know, they had their window of playoff contention open. They made some trades. They brought in Carlson. And ever since then, really, they just have not looked good. And I think that they need to change some things up and really start looking to the future there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so my game of the week was out of this division. I had, you know, the Avalanche returning from their COVID delay against the Knights. So they played two. Actually, they'll play two more again this weekend against the Knights. But they both split that series, one apiece. You know, the Avs kind of looked a little rusty, I would say, coming out in that first game. They lost 1-0. They're still not at full strength. They still have some players that were on COVID protocol. And then they came back out and they won the next game 3-2. So looked a little bit better. They should be – actually, this is going to be a fun game today. They're playing the outdoor game at Tahoe yes. today. So, and I know this one's a UK-friendly time, so it sounds like you'll be watching it as well.
Yeah, 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. So that's – yeah, I've booked the TV tonight for that one, definitely. I have to admit, I'm going to put my hands up, and this is just me being – dumb, I guess. I originally thought the game was going to be played over a frozen part of Lake Tahoe. I don't know. Yeah. I've never been there. I don't know what the temperature's like.
And well, yeah. So it's really funny you say that because you'll have to. I don't know if you've seen the clip, but during a press conference, I think it was they had Pierre-Edouard Belmar and Andre Burakovsky. They were in an interview and they were talking about Lake Tahoe. And Belmar he made a comment about, yeah, I've never played on a frozen lake before. It's going to be awesome. And then Burakovsky's like, hey, bro, we're playing next to the lake. And he's like, what? You just shattered my dreams. And if you haven't seen it, you look it up.
I'm glad I'm not the only one. Well, yeah. NHL Network shattered my dreams because they had a feature on it I watched last night and they showed how they kind of, I think it's on the golf course, isn't it? Next to the lake.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. So they showed the whole process and I was like, hang on, that's a golf green. That's not a lake. Oh, okay. Should I own up to this one or not?
Yeah. So it's interesting too. I was reading the, about that game. And I guess during the first intermission, because it is on a golf course, Nate McKinnon is going to try for a hole in one for a charity event. So I was like, be an interesting little segue there.
I think it's going to be great. And also, I guess, I mean, outdoor games traditionally in massive stadiums. And I mean, I don't know. Whenever I've watched one of those outdoor games, I kind of get the impression that people aren't really there for the hockey. They're there to just have a laugh, have a few drinks and hang out because the view can't be great because it just looks like there's massive, massive stadium seating around and then this tiny little rink in the middle. I mean, it's hard enough seeing the puck at the best of times, but when you're up in the skies, impossible.
Yeah, you're right. I think you go there. So for the Avalanche, they had their first outdoor game was at Coors Field to the baseball stadium. And my wife and I went to that. And it's the same thing. You go there, I think it's more for the experience, right? You go there, it was great, but it was crazy because it was like unseasonably warm weather for us. I think it was like 60 degrees. You're like, man, we're going to a hockey game and it's 60. But you're right. You get up, we're on the third deck of the baseball stadium and you know, you can see maybe half of the rink and it's from way far away and you can barely see the puck. And so from actually watching the game, it's pretty hard, but, for the experience, it's really cool.
Yeah, with this late game coming up as well. I mean, obviously it's rubbish that there's no fans at stadiums this season, and we all know why and the reason behind it. So I guess this is the only year if you're going to have an event with no fans, this is the year to do it. And fair play to the NHL. They've taken a bit of a bad situation and a bit of a down situation and turned it around and gone, you know what, we can't do a stadium series, but how about a lake? Or as I thought, how about pond hockey on a lake? But
yeah, I've heard that because they have no fans, there's no, you know, stadium to block, or, you know, for the camera, where to put your camera platforms and everything on, that this one should be pretty awesome from the televised standpoint, in that they have unique camera views that they're trying out, and it should be pretty cool. So I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah, and it's Jamie, this pod will come out on Sunday, so you know, we can't advise people to watch it. But yeah, if you have watched it, it'd be interesting to see what you guys think, because yeah, I can't wait. I think it's 2.5 hours now. I'm excited.
Yeah. All right. With that, we'll take another break, and when we come back, we'll talk about our series of the week. And we'll wrap up. Welcome back to Across the Pond NHL Sports Podcast. And for our very last segment, we'll do some picks of the week by division. Chris, I'll go ahead and start. Out of the Central, I'm going to pick Tampa Bay and Carolina. So Lightning versus the Hurricanes. Both teams looking to, you know, I think each one of these will make the playoffs, I believe. We talked about one of these teams. There is going to be a team in this division that's going to miss out. But I want to see how Carolina plays. They've been playing very hot of late. Been playing well. And I want to see how they play against Tampa and see if, you know, they can solidify a playoff spot in that top four.
Yeah, and I mean, I think I said earlier, I don't really pay much attention to Carolina, but I think that's, you know, that's my bad. I think I should do. They've got... Yeah, two players I do know, obviously, Shnetchnikov and Aho, who are great, great, especially Sebastian Aho. He's a proper old-fashioned. He almost looks like he's come out of a different era of hockey almost. You know, you can imagine him in the sort of 80s, the old sort of maybe Philadelphia team even. I don't know. Actually, maybe not that. Maybe that's too extreme. But you know what I mean. He's a proper old-fashioned player. And yeah, he's a player I like to watch. So I might, that's a good one. And yeah, Tampa Bay are just... They're just fun to watch, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Fast team, score lots of goals, and they actually can play pretty good defense too. I mean, they've
got it all.
Yeah,
they've got it all. Right, if I do my one then, so I'm picking from the West and going back to the outdoor series game. So it'll be the second, won't it, in the series? Avalanche versus Vegas. So yeah, I mean, it's Avalanche, Vegas, you know, it's 1-1 in the series as it stands. So the game today, Saturday, so it'll be the fourth game in the series. Yeah, I mean, they're the two of the three strongest in the West Division. You know, the showpiece game is obviously tonight on Lake Tahoe, but I think with this game on Monday night, it'd be good to see what it'd be like back in a normal venue. Vegas are a team that I quite like watching. You know, they're skillful, they're strong, you can tell they've got a good team spirit. I'm not too hot on their kind of C3PO gold helmets they've got going on. But, you know, you're Vegas. If there's any team who's going to do it, it's going to be Vegas. But I'm more interested for Avalanche. I haven't really seen much of you guys this year. Obviously, there's been reasons behind it, you know, the COVID restrictions and whatnot, but you're always a great team to watch, great fun team to watch. I'm assuming McKinnon's out for this game, isn't he? He's not going to be back.
No, he's back. Oh, is he? Okay. Yeah, that was one of the benefits, I think, of having that that COVID break was, hey, we got some fresh guys back. So we got McKinnon's back, Taves is back. I think the only ones that are really still out even for the outdoor game are going to be, so Sam Girard, I think he's cleared to skate today, but that doesn't mean he'll play. I don't think he'll play. And then Eric Johnson and there's one other one. I'm trying to think who else is out, but Pavel Francouz, our second goalie, he's still out. So those are out long-term, but Avalanche will be just about back to full strength, really just missing Girard. And sounds like he might be back in time for the Monday game.
Okay, and you got Mikko Rantanen as well. He's a player, right?
Yeah.
Rantanen?
Rantanen?
So then that's the one. Yeah, he's I wouldn't say he's underrated in that team, but I guess when you've got players like Nathan McKinnon, he may take the spotlight off a bit more, but he's a great fun player to watch. And
yeah. And yeah, being able to have McKinnon and him on that top line is, it's pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, going back, you know, I know I'd like to pull things back to the Coyotes, but we had Cole Soderberg last year, who was with you guys previously, and I think he struggled with us. I mean, he's just scored a few, but he struggled with us. One of the reasons he said is, you know, it's easier to score goals when you've got those two players playing alongside and setting you up, and you don't really get that. We didn't really get that at the Coyotes, so.
Yeah, right. So,
and I still think, I said at the start, you know, yeah, Blue Jackets are kind of my dark horse. I think it will be Tampa's, but Avalanche, you guys, I think, are due a run now, aren't you? And why not this season?
Yeah, I agree. They've got that young core in place. I think that they're going to be, you know, a good team for the next few years. And I think this year is going to be as good as any. You look at Grubauer as being, he's played very, very well. I think, you know, even with some of the absences with injuries that we've had, it's really Grubauer's play. I think he's third in the league in terms of save percentage. And I think really he's been kind of the backbone, if you will, of the team while they've weathered the injury storm.
Yeah. And like you said, you know, with the COVID restrictions, you may end up benefiting from it in terms of certainly McKinnon being back in the team as well. So, yeah, that's my pick from the West this week.
All right. That's a good one. So my second pick, I'm going to move in the East. I'm going to pick Boston and New York. So the Islanders playing the Bruins. We were just talking about, you know, this division, there's going to be an odd team out. So another one of these games where, hey, the Islanders have been playing better of late. Can they keep that up against a very good Boston team? And, you know, again, stay in that hunt for a playoff spot.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, maybe if this game was, say, a month ago, it'd probably be an easier one to call with the way the Islanders were looking, and Boston just being Boston and winning. But yeah, the Islanders are certainly coming back into it. And yeah, they can be, Barry Trotz, he can certainly put out a mean, organised, defensively minded team. And against a team like Boston, I mean, that's what you need to do to have any hope. And yeah, I think it could be them or Pittsburgh who miss out in the playoffs. So these are the kind of games they're going to be wanting to win. And yeah, when's that game on again?
That one, I believe, is on Fridays or starts. Okay. Thursday. Starts on Thursday.
So from the Canadian division, the North division, it's a Thursday night game. It's the Jets at the Canadiens. So it's actually the first game between the two this season. And you know, as we said, the Canadiens have dropped off a little bit, but they've only played the 15 games, so you know they haven't dropped off for on the ice reasons. So yeah, I think with the Jets, they're a team who there's quite a lot of teams who fly under the radar for me, but they're the Canadian team that flies under the radar for me. They're a team I would expect to be in the top four, but I'm watching this more for the Canadians. I'd be interested to see if, you know, they've now got this deficit of games, in the same way we were saying about Minnesota, you know, their position is false, but they've still got to play these games to make up. It's going to be the same for them. You know, they also have a bit of a rabid fan base, so I think a lot's expected of them this season. And I just think, yeah, that will be that's the game for me. The top two teams in the Canadian division at the moment, I think, are going to be pretty set. So these will kind of play out for third and fourth in my mind. So it'd be like an early indication. And as I said, it's the first game this season between the two. So it's an early indication of, you know, where they stand in comparison to each other. And yeah, Canadians have got to pick up the games.
Yeah, and like you said, they're right next to each other, third and fourth. They're only a point of difference between the two. Montreal having a couple games in hand. Yeah, but like we were talking about earlier, right? They have to win these games to move up.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I'd be interested to see if they can, after having a, you know, kind of a bit of a pause in the schedule, they can come back and start moving back up in the standings.
Yeah, I've always wondered with sports teams anyway, in a non-COVID world, you know, if you have a, you know, if you play a consecutive amount of games and you have a break, how easy or if it's hard, how hard is it to pick up the intensity again? But in a COVID season, I guess, you know, you're not having the team meetings person to person, face to face. It's all over Zoom. You've got limited practice time. I know some of the NHL protocols have, you know, have come in so they can have a limited amount of people on the ice at a certain time. So, you know, you've got a big gap since your last game. You're not really having the team bonding that you would probably take advantage of that gap with, and having. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they can pick it up again. Because, yeah, they were looking good up until the break. So if they can continue that, that's a good sign of where they could be at the end.
Yeah. And Montreal's, it's kind of funny. I was just looking here. They're an interesting team. If you look at their home and away splits, they're 6-0-2 away and 6-4 at home. So these two games are both in Winnipeg. So we'll see if they keep up that really the no loss in regulation theme.
Okay, I didn't know that. Definitely worth looking out for. So yeah, that's Thursday night's game. And one thing I actually did want to mention, sort of going on from our games of the week, is obviously I'm in the UK. You know, we can watch, I think there's BT Sports, there's Premier Sports and Free Sports as well, where we can watch our games, but a lot of them are sort of midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. But I just wanted to highlight, anyone who's listening to this and doesn't have a Premier Sports or BT Sports, if you sign up to Free Sports, you've got a couple of, you know, easy on the caffeine time games to choose from. So tonight, for example, you guys would have missed it by the time you listen to it, but the game on the lake, that's 8 o'clock tonight. But the game next Saturday, so that's the 27th, is Washington at New Jersey, 6 p.m. And then Sunday the 28th, Columbus at Nashville, 8 p.m. So yeah, this isn't a paid advertisement from the guys at Free Sports, but if you're just, you know, if you're listening to this podcast and you want to watch some hockey at a decent time, it doesn't cost you anything, yeah, definitely check Free Sports. It's good coverage.
Yeah, always good to know the UK-friendly times there, and especially if it's on for free, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's good. I think they're part of Premier Sports, but I think they must mix it up between what channel shows what. But they're the games on Free Sports in the next 7 days.
All right, and that'll do it for Across the Pond NHL Sports Podcast.